He's got a mic, and he's in a mood. Buckle up, Buttercup. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. It happened to me again yesterday. I went to CVS, America's drugstore. I'm sorry, pharmacia. Yeah, I went in there to buy literally nothing. And I got up to the register and I paid. First she said, can I see your CVS card? I felt like it was a Gestapo move. Let me see your identification, please. I was like, whoa, come on, woman. So I showed her my CVS card proudly. I proudly waved it in front of her face, and she scanned me. I was scanned. Didn't make a difference in the price of the stuff. I don't know why she scans me. And then she said it'll be $6 and something cents. And I said fine. I put my card in the machine and inserted it, and it came out and that kind of thing. And then I said to her the magic word. She gave me the CVS bag. And I said to her, because I was brought up properly, I said to her, thank you very much. What a polite, wonderful son of a bitch I am. Thank you very much. That's what my mother taught me. Always say thank you when someone gives you something. That's how we coexist in society, theoretically. Thank you very much. And she responded to me, instead of saying, you're welcome, which is on the script, when someone says thank you, you're supposed to say, you're welcome. Read the script. Don't you get the copy the night before? That's what you're supposed to say. She didn't say, you're welcome. She said, I said, thank you very much. And she said, no problem. Whoa, don't you ever say that to me. And this time, oh, this is an interesting story. I hope you're listening. This time I muttered, I said, no problem. And she heard me. Usually when I mutter something, I do it very quietly so I can hear it myself and satisfy myself, but the other person that I'm talking about can't hear me. I'm very good at that. But she heard me, and she looked at me, and she stared at me like she heard it. I think I sent a message to her. I think I changed somebody's life. I can go to heaven now. I've actually changed someone's life for the better. Thank you, Mr. Van Dam, for changing my life for the better. Oh, no problem. This is the day of reckoning. For no reason other than I just said that. Welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's a Ron Van Dam Show. If you've never taken this ride before, get out of the car immediately. You have no idea what you've just done. This is a show where we chew up all different kinds of subjects, spit them out. When it's all finished, it's not been educational. It's been regurgitation is really all this has been. I was walking my dog yesterday, which I tend to. Actually, my dog walks me. My dog doesn't like to be walked. Walk is not in the vocabulary of my dog. I took my dog for a drag. Yeah, I have to drag my dog. My dog doesn't walk fancifully through a field smelling roses and things like that. My dog just sniffs stuff and just stays in place. And I always have to say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I mean, taking my dog for a walk is exercise for me too, but it's not because my dog doesn't understand the walk concept. Going out and sniffing, that concept is totally understood. Actually moving your legs in a exercise manner My dog does not understand that. My dog says, if you want me to move, you're going to have to drag me. My dog is basically a cement block on a leash. She will not move for anybody or anything if she doesn't care to do it. Yeah, I know. See, I'm not into dog training because then I think that you're just having the dog do your bidding 24/7 like you're some type of leader. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be an owner or a slave owner. You know what I'm saying? I know that's not proper to say, but you know what I'm talking about. I want my dog to have her freedom, you know, her freedom to be herself, to be all she can be. But all she seems to want to do is just sniff. You know, I could never be with a woman like that. Can you imagine being with your girlfriend or your boyfriend and all he or she wants to do is just sniff? I mean, oh, that's a cocaine habit, isn't it? Well, that's what my dog does. She just constantly sniffs everything. She sniffs grass. She sniffs trees. She sniffs sidewalks. She sniffs telephone poles. She sniffs the stem of mailboxes. She loves sniffing that. She's a sniffer. She's just a sniffer. What is she most interested in? Sniffing in urine that's been sitting on the ground or somebody else's excrement. And when I say somebody else's, I'm talking about another dog. I don't live in that kind of neighborhood. Well, what is that there? That's somebody's excrement. Oh, my God. Here we go again. No, it's not. There, it's dog stuff. It's people that don't pick up the dog poop, which I find amazing. You don't. This is, what do you think this is, India? You don't leave poop on the ground, whether it be human or animal. You pick it up, you put it in a bag, and you put it on your neighbor's lawn. It's so simple. Those are the rules. I'm amusing myself because I don't think there are any other options involved. Anyway, yeah, my dog's got just a whole different way of living than I do. I've never sniffed anything like that before. But my dog finds fascination in other dogs' excrement. I don't get it. I don't get it. I wish I could talk to my dog and my dog could answer me. Dog, let me ask you a few questions. What is it about other excrement that you find on the ground that you find so fascinating? What is that? Explain that to me if you could. And take as many words as you want. It's not an essay question. Just why? Why does your species do that? Our species, the human species, we do the opposite. If we see excrement on the ground or a little pool of pee, we run the other direction like really fast. We take an immediate shower or bath, put on a hazmat suit. I mean, we don't like that stuff. But you apparently, you're drawn to it like it's an aphrodisiac or something. It's crazy. How are you? How you doing today, huh? You feeling good? Did anybody besides me ask you how you're feeling today? If nobody has, you need to change things up. You need people around you that ask you how you are continually to the point of ad nauseum. You feel wanted, you feel loved when people care about how you feel. It's nice. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. It didn't start with me until I was 40. People didn't care how I felt at all. Hi, Ron, how you doing? Fine. That was it. Yeah, let's talk about tennis or sports or something. Ugh, ugh. Then when I turned 40, everything changed. Everything changed up. Hi, Ron, how you doing? How you feeling? Oh, all of a sudden you're concerned about how I'm feeling. Is it because I hit 40 years old and now things are going downhill and you have great concern for my physical well-being or even my mental well-being? Maybe you listen to the show. Maybe that's the explanation. But seriously, when we turn 40, it's a whole different ballgame. People, they start caring about you physically. You really do. And you start talking about it too. Hi, Ron. How you doing? Better today. The arthritis is better. Better today. The knees don't hurt. Okay. Our conversation has changed up a bit subject-wise. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's totally different. And then you make the jokes. That's how you really know it's different, when you make the jokes and the jokes make sense. Hi, Ron. How you doing? How you feeling today? Well, I'm on the right side of the grass. At least I'm not pushing up daisies. I'm still breathing. Oh, my God. Why are you answering questions like that? What's wrong with you? Is the supposition that you shouldn't be living? Oh, my God. What happened? I turned 40. Oh, my God. How are you feeling? I'm still alive. Oh, my God, don't answer like that. That's stupid. That wasn't the intention of the question. You can just answer by saying, fine, how are you? That's what you do. Then you turn 40, and now it's an essay question. Now it's not a simple response. You ask me a question, sit down, I've got a hell of an answer for you. This could take some time, buddy. Don't ask me how I'm feeling again. This could take some time. I laugh, but it's not funny, really, at all. It is the major topic of conversation. Actually, among men more than women, I do believe. I don't have statistics because I make things up anyway, but I believe that men talk more about how they're feeling than women do. Women talk about other women, pretty much. They talk about other women and their emotions. They don't talk about their physical stuff unless you specifically target it. Men will just go to that immediately. Immediately. You know why? Because men have nothing in common whatsoever. Men don't know how to have conversation. They have nothing in common. They really don't. They always go to the sports thing because they figure that's the binding subject that bring men together. That's stupid. That's shallow stupid, which is the case most of the time. But real men who have any type of soul to them, they talk about their health, man. They talk about how they're feeling physically. It's weird. It's very strange. And yet men have very little problems in the long run, you know. We don't have as many parts as women do. I mean, we do, but nothing really seems to go wrong with them. I mean, we got those two testicle things and that sticky outy thing. That's the medical term, the sticky outy thing. Things can go wrong with it, but usually not a lot. That's usually the safe zone where someone has to kick you in them in order for them to feel any great pain. Otherwise, I mean, things do happen, but it's not a big focus. It's not a big focus now. No, men don't have that stuff, you know. Women, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Oh. You've got those breast things. You got to have them tested continually. And how do you test them? You put them in a vise? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Uterus infections, I'm so sorry about that. I am. You got stuff going on. A lot of things you have to worry about. You're wearing those stupid high heels half of your life, or maybe all of it. And then all of a sudden you got foot problems and leg problems and knee problems, and you wonder why. Because you've been shoving your toes downward for like 27 years. I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry. You put all this shit on your face, this lipstick, fish scales, and powders, and foundation, and oh, you're just like piling things onto your skin. That stuff absorbs, man. That doesn't stay on the top layer. You're not a piece of canvas. You actually absorb the stuff that you put on your skin. Years and decades of that. I'm so sorry. I didn't make you put it on. I'm constantly telling them, don't wear so much makeup. You don't need it. You're very pretty people. The female organization of America and across the world is a very pretty organization. To me, every woman is pretty, some more than others, but they all started pretty. They're all very attractive. Why you go putting stuff on your face, I don't know. If you ask most men, they will really say, you put too much stuff on your face. You put way too much on. So that's self-inflicted, kids. It really is. And society did it to you as well. But men, we don't have stuff absorbing in our skin at all. Nothing. We don't even change our underpants on a daily basis. Are you kidding me? We don't have those things. Women are just, they have a lot of concerns. A lot of concerns. Yeah. And then you have these little midgets called children. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that happens to you. I am so sorry. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. Oh, God. You have human things coming out of your body, and they're bigger than your exit sign. It's just awful. And I feel for you. I know it's a wonderful experience that like nothing could be more amazing. But physically, I'm so sorry that happens to you. Your back starts hurting you. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. You can't drink. You can't smoke. And that in itself is horrible. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel for you. I do. I don't know. I don't know if any man's ever said that, but I actually feel, I feel for you. I really do. A horrible, horrible thing. My guest coming up a little bit later in the show is Vicki Lawrence. You remember her from the Carol Burnett Show and Mama's Family. She's going to join us toward the end of the program today, which isn't that far away, really, in the scheme of things. I've talked to her before. She has a very interesting problem that not only women have, but men have as well. And it's a skin condition that it's very common. And she's going to talk about that. And she's very bold to talk about something like that. You know, they use celebrities to bring out these causes and to make you aware of various causes and physical things. And I tip my hat. I mean, I don't know if they're paid for or not. That's not the point. I'm just saying that, you know, you admit that you have one of these diseases. And I don't think most people go walking around doing that. I mean, you know, not when you're a celebrity. A celebrity, you want to have this... this image that people have that you're perfect. Christie Brinkley, I can't picture her putting her boobs in a vise, but I'm sure she does. We don't talk about that. Christie Brinkley and some of these other supermodels, they're like 120 years old or something, and they look like they're 30. Yeah, that's because I'm not looking at the person. There was an interesting thing online a couple of months ago. I remember looking at it. I got involved. It was beautiful celebrities, people that are just like gorgeous. And then they showed what they look like without makeup. That was so cool, because from that moment on, I realized that even the prettiest people aren't really that pretty. It's what they put on their face that makes them pretty. When we see them in the movies and on television, they've got makeup artists. They are like, they're like painters, you know, they're like creating masterpieces, and the people's faces are canvases. They don't look that good really in real life. I mean, if I could have sex with Christie Brinkley, and you know what? I don't think I really want to because I feel too inadequate. But if I had sex with her and we woke up in the morning and then we went into the bathroom together to wash our face, if I looked at Christie Brinkley in the mirror first thing in the morning and she didn't have any makeup on, even though I just had tremendous sex with her, not that I would because I feel inadequate, I think I would look at her and say, oh my God, who are you? What happened to Christie Brinkley? We had sex last night. Did she leave? Are you the maid? Ron, that's sexist. Because I don't think it would look like Christie Brinkley. It would sound like her, but it wouldn't look like her at all. At all. And that's got to make everybody feel good. So that's why going through that little website thing, that online thing, and where they displayed what the celebrities really, really look like without the makeup, it was so freeing to me. It was like, okay, everybody's in the same boat. I mean, some people are in a nicer boat than others, obviously. But you don't want to be in the boat with that coronavirus thing, though. Oh, my God, huh? quarantined? Oh, no. No, 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 no. I'm leaving the boat. Thank you. Ron, you can't. You may have the coronavirus. No, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Sorry. I can't stand the food here anymore. And the people? Ugh. Ew. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that. Okay. In just a few moments, Vicki Lawrence is going to join us. I think that's how this whole thing happened. How are you? Are you doing okay? Are you doing all right? Good. Oh, my God. Let's just calm down.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Everybody knows Vicki Lawrence from The Carol Burnett Show, Mama's Family, game shows, host, producer, everything. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing rather well today. Thank you. We're talking about... are you in California, by the way?
I'm not. I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, interesting. Different. Today. That's different.
I will be in California tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Because I'm concerned about where you are all the time, obviously. Oh, that sounds.
My husband said the same thing last night. He said, "Where exactly are you?"
And that's worse when he says it than I do. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about CIU. What is CIU?
CIU is a form of chronic hives, and it is a mouthful, chronic being that it has lasted for at least 6 weeks or more, sometimes years. Idiopathic, I like to think of the root word as idiot, in that the doctor has no answer for you as to why it's happening. And urticaria is a fancy doctor word for hives.
Okay.
And I was diagnosed about 4 years ago with this condition, and come to find out there are like 1.5 million of us in this country who are dealing with this and trying to find answers. And so that's why I got involved with this campaign, CIU and you.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, is this an advanced form of allergy?
It's not an allergy. There's no, it's idiopathic. They don't know why. I think when you break out in hives, which I did, you immediately assume that you've done something wrong. You ate something wrong, or you changed your detergent, or there's something you've done.
Right.
And you don't get a diagnosis of CIU for at least 6 weeks of not being able to get rid of those hives, at which point the doctor will tell you, I think you could scratch test all you want. I don't think you'll find an answer for it. So I think the hardest thing for CIU patients to deal with is the notion that it's not your fault. It's not anything you're doing. You know, because we all want answers. And if the doctor tells you I don't have an answer, a lot of people are probably on to the next doctor. But there is not an answer for this. There are treatments, and I was lucky that I had a really good allergist who knew about CIU, and we were able to get my hives under control and find a treatment that worked for me. But I've had a chance through this program to talk to a lot of people that have been looking for answers literally for years.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I had a chance to sort of throw my hives in the ring and
that's cute.
I was approached by the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, and they said, we're going to put this website together, just it's an educational website, really, and it's totally made sponsible by Genentech and Novartis, so a lot of really good people that know what they're talking about, a lot of great information on there. It's just simply CIUNU.com, and I'm hoping that either my face or, you know, the acronym CIU will get out there, and people will, you know, it'll be a light bulb for them, and they'll go, wait a minute, I saw something about this, or I read something about this. I heard Ron talking about it one morning.
That would be the reason that people would know.
Could be.
It's the only reason. So it's handled by an allergy and asthma specialist, but it's not that. But that's as close to a specialist as we can get with this, I assume.
It is an allergist or a dermatologist that is going to help you sort this out.
Right.
And it's really important. And, you know, and that information will be on the website. It's important to get to that doctor.
Okay.
That, and hopefully one that, you know, is aware of CIU and knows how to hopefully help you treat it.
Right.
And I think, you know, there are downloadables on the website so you can track your hives.
Because,
you know, the way the medical system is nowadays, Ron, you might not get to the right doctor for several weeks, so you want to just be armed with pictures and a diary and a lot of good information so that you don't waste your time with him, and he either knows what he's talking about or he doesn't.
That's right. See, that's what this is all about, so that people know that this condition does exist, because otherwise you do go through months and months of testing, and you end up in the same place, but you've gone through all of this. You need somebody who's educated, who knows that this is a possibility, and when a patient is it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I was diagnosed, I got on, you know, I of course started Googling CIU, and there wasn't any information out there. There were people asking questions, but there weren't any good answers or any directional help. So, and I just feel like if there are 1.5 million of us, there should be some place of advocacy for everybody in this day and age. So I said, heck yeah, let's put this together and get the word out there.
Very cool. But it is treatable, even though it's perhaps not quote-unquote curable, it's treatable, which is good. It's wonderful.
Exactly right. Yes, I am today hive-free. Thank you
All right, cool. All right.
And hopefully, you know, it will stay that way.
I'm sure it will.
My doctor said you look good. Hopefully, knock wood, this is it, you know.
You have a doctor that says you look good? That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, you know, my skin.
Oh. My doctor doesn't.
I'll tell you what, the hives are not cute.
Yeah. Well, I assume that. Yeah, I mean, I know, but it's treatable, and that's my doctor. Every time I complain about something, my doctor says that's cuz you're getting old. And then I leave.
Actually, I am kind of old to be going through to be diagnosed with CIU. It happens more often in I think your 40s is more common, 40s, 50s,
wow.
And more often to women than not. He said, said to him, "Of course, it's more women than not. Of course, everything is more women."
Because there's more of you. That's why there are more women than men, and you live longer anyway. So that's anyway. I don't want to get into that. Did you ever? Why does this happen to people? Is it genetic? Is it something that festers when you're younger? Why does this happen? Does anybody know?
See, I'm going to stand corrected. You're more often diagnosed with CIU between the ages of 20 and 40, so I am old, but I am an overachiever, if nothing else, Ron.
Yeah.
There is no idiopathic. There is no known
reason for it.
There's no rhyme or reason to the whole thing.
All right. Well, we know about it now, and we know where to go to get more information. Give me that website again. I believe it's CIU and U.
CIU and U, all spelled out, CIUANDYOU.com.
And
there's a lot of great information on there. My whole story's on there, and
you
can download stuff and hopefully feel like you've found a place where you can help yourself get some answers.
Good. All right. Now, I'm going to just slip this in quickly for your fans. What's in the works for you? Can we see you anywhere? What you doing?
Oh yeah, I'm on the road all the time, Ron. I feel like I live in an airplane. but the thing to do would be to go to my website, which is VickiLawrence.com, and there's a schedule on there. You can click on that schedule and see if I'm going to be in your hood, and come on out, and we will laugh a lot. We will not talk about hives.
Okay, or whatever. Hey, Vicki, it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Well, well, well. We have come to that moment once again. But fear not, my friends. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I'm very excited about that. Are you? No, why not? So until then, with all my heart and all my soul, I wish you peace.